Hey everyone, welcome to The Galaxy at Large. I'm your host, Maddie Reed, and I'm here with my co-host, Jim Delano.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? Glad to be here.
So Jim is going to be actually our co-host going forward on as many podcasts as he can. We're both busy men. I have to also say that we're going to be kind of releasing these a little bit irregularly. And we're going to try to stick within 7 days. But again, it's kind of tough to collaborate two schedules, especially with somebody who has a couple of kids and a full-time job and another man who has no kids, but yet a full-time job. Two, actually, jobs that equal a full-time job. But either way. And I want to also thank everyone for listening to the last podcast. It was literally maybe two handfuls of people. Because I haven't quite yet figured out how to advertise this. I'm working on that with a good friend, Justin Taylor, who I'm going to kind of be collaborating with as well on many, many things. So we'll be working on getting that onto YouTube and stuff in the future. But for right now, you can still hear us on anchor.fm/thegalaxyatlarge. And you can reach us if you'd like to. At thegalaxyatlarge@gmail.com with any questions, any topics that you want us to discuss or anything like that. So where we're at is last week we had Jim on as a guest and he kind of like opened up. It wasn't as concise as we would have liked it to have been, but it's a theory that's so broad that you really can't restrict it to, I guess we probably should have realized that before, but either way, it's something that we'll continue to kind of discuss as we discuss other things. And we're going to kind of elaborate a little bit on it today as well. But we want to start off by announcing something that's on everyone's mind. Upcoming is the Star Wars Celebration 2019. So, Jim, why don't you kind of explain what's going on with that?
All right. The last few episodes that have come out with The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi, they've had the celebrations a few months before. It's where the trailers have debuted, so I mean, we'll start to get – it's going to be a big one. There's a lot of stuff coming this fall and winter for Star Wars, so it's a lot of interesting stuff that we'll be seeing. It's coming up in a couple of weeks, April – I believe 11th through 14th, I believe the dates are.
Oh gosh, yeah, we're like a week and a half away.
Yeah, so it's I mean, without question, that's when we'll get a title for episode 9. We'll get our first at least teaser, if not full trailer.
Right.
And that would be enough in normal times, but we're also going to get potentially a trailer and a lot more information on The Mandalorian. We're going to get a sneak peek at the new season of Clone Wars coming up. We're going to get all kinds of Jedi Fallen Order video game that's supposed to come out this holiday season. The first images of that and more information about that game that's going to be coming out are all these things are coming out.
Is that going to be on all platforms like PC and all that good stuff?
I don't believe it's just a console. I know it's Xbox, PlayStation. I would assume it's on PC as well. I'm not 100% sure though.
But still, Xbox, PlayStation, consoles themselves. Yes. Fantastic. Yeah, it's the first I'm hearing of this, and I can't wait. I mean, I've heard about them possibly doing it. I didn't know it was going to be this holiday season. So that's awesome.
It's coming out this year. I mean, it's going to be a crazy this celebration is going to actually just launch an incredible amount of information that's going to be coming about all these things, not to mention the Galaxy's Edge theme parks in both Disney World and Disneyland are both opening. So the most information we're going to get from that, and just looking at the first day, the big information will come the first full day, April 12th from 11 AM to 12 PM is the Star Wars episode 9, panel. It's the first one launching the whole celebration, and that's where we'll.
Do you know who's going to be there? Have they announced the list of?
Kathleen Kennedy and J.J. Abrams will be appearing on stage, as well as members of the cast and plenty of surprises and special guests. Keep your imagination buzzing. for the rest of Celebration. And that'll be when the trailer and the title and all that kind of information will be coming out, whether it'll be at the beginning of that panel at 11 or at the end at 12 to close it out, that kind of thing. But that'll be,
I think we need to do a podcast that day or the day after to kind of address all that stuff, because it's going to be pretty wild from what I hear. So
I'm pretty sure that that's the time. And then that's just the launch of the beginning of the weekend. And there's all kinds of the whole weekend all the way through Monday. It's just going to be all kinds of different panels and information about, there's a 20th anniversary Phantom Menace panel.
Oh, that's right. Isn't Christian or Hayden Christensen supposed to be there on that one?
Ian McDermott are supposed to both be on that panel. It's gonna be a really good show.
Good time. Yeah. Awesome.
Tons of information. So, and that's when it's gonna start for the end of this year.
So. Awesome. Apart from that, obviously we're gonna get plenty more panels and things like that, but. I'm excited. It's been so quiet lately as far as things coming out from, you know what I mean? Like, we need something.
I think that's what they've been intentionally holding back, because, they have these, they've got a celebration for Star Wars. So why not debut all of this stuff?
Right. With all the backlash from The Last Jedi and stuff like that. Obviously they're a little bit more cautious these days, so
yeah. And they've debuted the first trailers have come out at celebrations for both Force Awakens and The Last Jedi. So that part of it'll be the norm. But but to have so much going on the last half of this year with not just the movie, but books and games, and
it's almost like they're going to launch all the PR at once, and it's
for all of it.
Pretty wild ride, yeah.
Yes. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, definitely. Well, awesome. Yeah. So I guess kind of elaborating on your theory last week, why don't we just kind of touch on that a little bit? So what we discussed a little bit earlier was that you're going to, start where you want to, where we started when we kind of discussed this earlier about episode one, and just bring us through that. We'll unpack a little bit if we can once you're done. You had a pretty good wraparound. And again, like I said before, there's no way that you can really make it concise, but let's summarize it as best we can.
So, the best way I can think to put it is I thought of the main part of the theory was that Palpatine is going to return in episode 9 and would ultimately be the big bad in the entire Skywalker saga. And in thinking that, before I really thought it completely out in all detail, I started to go back to try to debunk the idea to see if it could truly happen, and it just caused me to continue digging back. So, for lack of a better way of putting it, the best way I could say it is, it's like an MCU for Star Wars almost, where I, instead of going back and debunking things, the more I would go back and look at things a little bit differently, the more I would find more things that tied into each other through all of the different platforms. So it just turned into like a large overall big picture theory and different ways to kind of link together all of the media that's come out that ultimately ends in the Palpatine making his return in episode 9. So that's, this summary. So it literally starts at episode 1. That's the first since the Disney, the Disney purchase of Lucasfilm, basing all everything on just what is officially canon.
And that's what we want to focus on, in this podcast in the future. We will bring up certain aspects of the EU and whatnot, and kind of, because again, they're cherry picking what they choose to use from the EU. So we'll kind of incorporate that. But what we want to stick to is specifically canon material in the future. Again, episode one.
Yeah. So, ultimately, you start episode one is the first beginning of the story that we know as far as the movies and everything goes. So I mean, it just sets up everybody. We meet all the major players in Anakin and Obi-Wan and all that. And episode two kind of just sets us up similarly. I mean, continues the story and sets up what the really the big story of the prequels is, but didn't really have they didn't have the time to show it on in a movie was sets up the Clone Wars, which is the big part of it. So I mean, if you go from episode two into the Clone Wars animated series, there's just so many different pieces you can take from that that at that time we didn't really know we were going to have a link to it in
And
the
that
future.
we they kind of touched on in episode seven, The Force Awakens. So I'm going to kind of try to refer to it as that because a lot of people get a little mixed up with the episodes, but a lot of things they touched on in The Force Awakens, or didn't really, I suppose, and The Last Jedi. That kind of will wrap back up into the whole thing from the Clone Wars, Rebels, all the series that we've seen before in the comics as well, certain aspects.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just all gonna just gonna end. The other part of the original theory, like I said, was that I took the ending the Skywalker saga and ending the story as a in a literal sense. So if I looked at it that way, the whatever happens at the end of episode nine, it's literally going to be closing the book. And then depending on what they do, if they go back to the Old Republic era or they go back to different time periods prior, then they're telling a story that would include the Skywalker saga, but in a different area of the galaxy or any of that kind of stuff. So I mean, it's a that's what so it, trying to tie everything together that's come out. So I mean, it's I mean, there's
Right,
Clone
like
Wars.
we discussed, not
Yeah,
only from
it's
a point of view of like just, concluding the story to a way that the fans like, but also concluding the story and opening it up in Disney's own way or whatever they want to do
right.
with that, or I should say, Lucasfilm's own way.
Yeah. I mean, I think that that's ultimately their goal is they can they're finishing off everything that's done by using the animated series, using the soon the Disney Plus TV series that are coming out, that kind of stuff to fill in some of the holes in this era of time, and they're going to go completely away from it and be able to create their own Star Wars galaxy and kind of come up with an origin story for the galaxy overall.
Right, which again, like I mean, we discussed it in the last podcast. It seems to be their ultimate goal because they've set up a whole theme park around it, and what they're kind of working towards in the future.
Right, yeah, and I think that we're going to start to see. We had mentioned the Batuu. I mean, I think it's already come up in a couple of different books and stories and stuff. And as the theme parks open, I'm pretty sure we're going to see it tie into bigger picture, more potentially even appear in movies. The planet itself. I think it's that way. You can. The idea of the theme park is that you're completely in that world and you're living it. So I think they want to make it so that you are literally living part of the movie that you're seeing. So you're going in and you're actually stepping into the movie in that particular scene, that kind of thing. And I think that that's really what their big picture goal is with it.
And I can't wait to actually, like, hopefully one day we'll be able to visit the hotel that they're also planning and that whole entire thing because I think it all kind of wraps together. But it seems to be all about role play, which is kind of cool. You know what I mean? Like, if you're spending the amount of money that you have to go down to Disney, you might as well have an immersive experience that really, brings out the kid in you. So,
Yeah, a lot of the things that they've talked about is with the theme parks. And again, we'll find out more about that at Celebration as well.
that's right. I didn't even think about that they would address that, but obviously they would, so.
Yeah, and they're going to be opening up soon. I mean, I think they pushed the dates up even, so they're opening up earlier than they originally had
And they
announced.
seem to be doing pretty good down there. I mean, from what I hear, so.
But
Oh, did you again, you did you you went to Disney last time with the boys and whatnot, like this is kind of a personal thing, but you did go, right? So
yes.
you experienced I heard that, Hollywood Studios, the whole front of it was blocked off and that they were really, really wrapping Hollywood Studios around into this whole thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a lot. You had to, generally, I mean, for those that have been to Disney, I mean, if you stay in the park, you get dropped off pretty much right in front of the parks,
Right in the gates, right
right at
at
the
the
gates.
gates,
I mean, so
basically, yeah.
you just walk right in.
From the
But
ferry or whatever you
yeah,
decide
the
to take,
ferry or the
yeah.
bus or whatever it is that you're there, you're closer to. But Hollywood Studios, when we went, it was really far away. Like, and it had,
Yeah.
I mean, you were walking through the parking lot with, I mean, it was just big wooden walls that they had built, and you had a specific path, so you couldn't really see over anything or around the whole walkway to get there. So it
Yeah, they
definitely,
keep things very, very secretive down there.
yeah. I mean, same thing
I think it
inside the
was like
park.
the Seven Dwarfs or something like that. You couldn't even see into what they were doing out there, other than the mountain that was like kind of rising
Right.
above everything. So they do it pretty well down there.
Yeah, they definitely do. Yeah, it was inside the park too, where the entrance to the actual connection to the park is. I mean, they had a big, again, big wall built there. I mean, you couldn't see anything over it at all. I mean, it was blocked off pretty well, so.
Right. I can't wait. I mean, what they had before, again, we're kind of off topic, but it really doesn't matter. I mean, we're having fun here, so that's what this whole thing's about. But like Star Tours and what they had before was actually a lot of fun. The whole Jedi show and stuff like that. Like I have to say, I was impressed with what they had before. But I really, really can't wait to see what they're about to unravel down there. So.
It definitely it seems incredible, everything that I've read about it. So, but
I
it'll be
trust them.
difficult to get there for
Yeah.
a while. It's gonna be
For the average
pretty
Joe,
packed.
it's going to be a little rough to get in there. Yeah, right.
It's gonna be, and even if you get in, it's gonna be really, 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 really crowded. But I mean, definitely worth the experience from
Oh,
what it
yeah. It
sounds.
never really isn't. I mean, I've always had fun down there. So,
Yeah.
yeah. And we went there before, obviously, together. So, it's been a good time. So yeah. As far as like the whole entire like wrap up of your theory, I agree with it in many, 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 many ways. I really hope that it turns out that way. The only fear that I have, and maybe you can kind of touch on this a little bit, is that again, you discussed that there are ways that a storyteller can work, especially J.J. Abrams can work in things that people haven't quite seen. In a very concise way, in either a crawl or something like that. But how do you take a movie that is, generally, I would think 2 hours long or maybe 2.5? I hope that episode 9 is because we've got a lot of ground to cover.
Yeah, I think they announced the runtime for
Oh, they did.
yeah for or for no for
That's why I am
Endgame.
my co-host. Oh,
For
okay, go
Endgame,
ahead. Okay.
it was it's I guess it's gonna be 3 hours and 3 minutes, is the final runtime for Endgame.
For Endgame, what do you mean Endgame?
For Avengers,
Oh, okay. So that kind of sets a precedent because
yeah,
obviously,
so
Endgame, 3 hours,
yeah, so I wouldn't
man,
be surprised
I will sit
if
through
it comes
3 hours
into
of
3
Star
hours.
Wars.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I
I
wouldn't be
will.
surprised if it comes up and ends up being that long.
And you know what? Honestly, because they handled Avengers Infinity War so well, and I felt like I literally sat through about a half an hour of a movie when it was about 2.5 hours long. I trust Disney. I really, honestly, I do. I don't know if I'm alone in that theory or or in that thought, but I really do. I think it's gonna be great.
I think there's a difference between, I don't know. I look at things, I guess, objectively. I like to theorize and come up with what I would like to happen,
Yeah,
but
me
at the
too. I
same
think we're
time,
equal.
I'm also able to separate that from understanding that I'm not. I don't have the right to decide the story.
Right.
So I enjoy the story the way that they designed it, even if it comes completely the opposite of what it was that I thought it could be, should be, or would be, kind of thing. And that's, I think, where a lot of people have an issue with a lot of it, is if it doesn't fall in what they think should happen.
I feel the same way.
So it's,
I definitely feel the same way. And again, the whole, I think the buildup of all the fan frustration and stuff like that with where they thought that the whole story was going to go, kind of erupted when The Last Jedi came out, which I don't think was truly fair to Rian Johnson. I really don't think it was fair to Kathleen Kennedy or the whole group, because we haven't seen how things are going to end.
Right.
And it like boiled down to the most petty things, like casting an Asian in a role or a black stormtrooper or whatever. And I think it was kind of overblown by the media, but at the same time, there's no smoke without fire.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I really don't agree with all that. I do enjoy introducing new elements to the story. And honestly, I walked out of The Last Jedi with a feeling of like, you know, WTF, you know what I mean? But also in like the best kind of a way, because there was a lot of points where I was like, okay, that's my Star Wars. And then there was a lot of points where it was like, okay, well, I guess maybe I would have gone a different way creatively. But who am I to say where we should go with this series? I mean, Space Leia, maybe we can explain that off later, you know, or whatever. There were certain things where I can't really justify, you know,
yeah,
where they went.
And I'm not going to say that I'm not going to say I agree with. I mean, there's a couple of things that strike me.
We're all in the same boat on that.
Right. I mean, that are just really. But at the end of the day, I accept it, and I strongly agree with what you said about it's a trilogy that's ending a trilogy of trilogies, and I'm not going to bash the eighth one until I know how the ninth one ends. Because
right, and you know, like,
it could all be important things that didn't make sense to us then, but are going to be like aha kind of moments as we sit there and watch episode 9.
Right.
So until that's proven not to be the case, then I can't take it that Rian Johnson's just out there, because maybe we're just not in the inner circle to know what's going on. So
exactly.
So we
and
just don't know.
They stand so far behind him. You
yes.
know what I mean? Like, there has to, again, there's got to be a reason for that.
They signed him on for his next trilogy that he's working on now before The Last Jedi came out.
Right.
So they didn't care that it was.
Despite what you may hear, everyone who's out here, that's still very much in the works.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I mean, there might have been things that came out that said that wasn't. But
yeah,
Rian,
it's all
but he's
quickly
still,
been. Yeah. Yeah, he's come right out himself. I mean, not even through people and Twitter and stuff, and just said that yes, he's still doing it. So
right.
And nobody's come out to say otherwise.
We can't ignore the guy's body of work before that, which we kind of discussed again in our pre-conversation before this whole podcast. Again, there's a reason they chose him, and you know, go back and we don't even discuss his body of work, but that's not our topic.
Yeah, no, just go back and like if you have the time and you mean just go back sometime when you're sitting around and just kind of talking to your Alexa remote or do whatever to
right.
and just say his name and look him up and watch one of the other movies that he's
if
made.
Anything, Looper. I'll mention that.
Yeah,
that's Looper. Kind of the big thing. And honestly, I enjoyed that film.
That I like that movie a lot. And,
yeah.
and it's definitely like a thinking kind of thing. So I think that there's a lot of stuff. There's going to be a lot of stuff that we saw in The Last Jedi that we didn't know what we were seeing yet.
Yeah,
and just based on other things that he's done,
yeah.
And I know that he collaborated early on in the process with this trilogy with J.J. Abrams as well.
Right.
I mean, they worked together to come up with a big picture kind of overall anyway. So I mean, they had some collaboration prior. So I don't know how much the Colin Trevorrow, whatever the guy that was gonna originally gonna do the episode 9, how much he had to do with their original, but now that J.J. Abrams is taking it back over, if they had they must have had somewhat of the same vision, just a different way of telling the
That's what
story.
I'm saying. You bring up a really good point because it absolutely has to be a case of two men sitting down, or whatever, conversing. And all of this stuff must have been approved by JJ, and knowing at some point that he was going to finish out the trilogy. And even at episode 7, I believe that they had a running theme, and it's not like the original trilogy, six, I'm sorry, what was it, four, five, and
Four, five,
six, that it was kind of came off like it was kind of George, saying, "Oh shit, I didn't think I was going to be able to do a pre, a sequel to this. Either way, I didn't know how this was going to work out, so I'm kind of making it up as I go, and writing the story in my head as we go, and we'll see where this goes." They had a plan set in place, and I really honestly don't think that Disney just trusted that with a couple of different directors. They had a say in all of this. So it's going to a certain point, it doesn't matter, and they approved all of this, and they're standing behind it, and I respect that
And I
100%.
think that even before J.J. Abrams took over Episode 9, he directed 7, Force Awakens, but he was an executive producer or something along those lines
He
on
was
8
definitely
9.
credited.
So he had he, it's not like he made The Force Awakens and just walked away and didn't have
And
anything to do
focused
with
on
any of
Star
it. I mean,
Trek
so
or
he's
whatever he
right.
did.
He I mean, it might have worked on other projects, but he still was involved in what was going on
It's so
in
funny
that
that we're
thing. So
even discussing this because at the same like it's indicative of the trust that we have in JJ because of what he delivered in The Force Awakens, and the lack of trust maybe, which again I don't truly believe in my heart, because I read all the things that everyone reads about The Last Jedi, but I still trust Ryan, so
yeah, I mean, until I'm proven, like I said before, until if I leave on my birthday this year to after when a episode yeah when a episode 9 comes out, I
And you and I will
unless
be definitely seeing that together.
oh
Absolutely.
yeah,
So,
it's
it's gonna
gonna
be a good
be
time.
a good time. Unless I walk out of there and nothing that happens in episode 9 ties into anything that happens in episode 8 and it doesn't make any sense at all, then I'll be like, what the hell was he thinking? But I question some of the decisions, but I mean, if you it's just because I'm invested in Star Wars as much as I am. If it was a normal just one-off movie that I was watching, I wouldn't care about those little details. It's just because like I'm sitting here
It's
talking
part of our
about this
childhood.
Star Wars. Like, I mean, right now I'm talking about
Exactly.
it.
And
So I mean
almost 11 o'clock at night or
right. I mean,
whatever,
that
and
shows that
that's
obviously,
our passion,
yeah,
right?
I'm invested in it. But I'm also, I'm also not like story group, and I don't have a right to
And
pretend
I'm
that I am.
certainly
So
not
it's
writing my
just
own
a
fan fiction.
right.
So,
No. So take it, enjoy it, absorb as much of it as I can, and take it as entertainment, and be willing to have fun
And
with it
just
and
be
not.
open to it, because honestly, and one of the things that I want to stress in this podcast is that there is a world way beyond what you're seeing on screen, and that world is amazing. The Dr. Aphra comic, everything that they've done with Darth Vader from the moment that Disney picked it up has been perfect.
Incredible.
Like, I
Yeah,
want to say
they've
that literally they have taken Anakin and used the fact that he's a sympathetic character, a tragic figure in fiction, and they've separated the moment that Anakin became Darth Vader finally. And it wasn't the minute that he picked up the suit. It was a little bit after that that he truly gave himself to the dark side and said, "You know what? There's nothing else to really live for at this
it's like
point but the dark side."
he took on the name from when Palpatine gave it to him, but the suit at a different time, but he didn't really take on
But he was
the
bitter. He
real
was
persona.
still
He
Anakin,
wasn't
a
him,
bitter
right?
Anakin. Yeah, exactly. But at a
Yeah, they've done
certain
great
point,
with it. Oh,
Darth Vader
it's
number 25, at a certain point, literally, and I brought this up in the last podcast, Darth Vader number 25 on the second series. I'm not sure if it has a different title or anything like that. Not the one with Aphra, but the one that like starts his story
off. I think it's
off.
Just Darth Vader.
Yeah.
Yeah, just, I think that's what it's called.
The one that starts his story off from the minute that he puts on the suit is the most interesting thing that we've gotten out of Darth Vader so far. And it leads up to the point where literally he sees, you know, Padme. And again, we'll go into all that. I don't really want to spoil anything for anyone, and I haven't yet, because maybe we'll do a separate video about that or a separate podcast. But either way, it's incredible. And you find out the moment that he becomes Darth Vader, and beyond that point, he is the ruthless villain that we want to see. Like, literally, we want to see Darth Vader at his worst, and that makes the redemption of Anakin Skywalker all the more important. So.
Well, and I think it makes the fall that much more tragic, too, because if anybody, right. Nobody, no other character in the entire saga that we've seen so far is more explored and more fleshed out than Anakin / Vader.
Exactly. Almost his story.
It's the story.
Right. The Skywalker saga is about Anakin, ultimately. I mean, it's the original six movies, obviously, is his rise and fall and redemption more than it is about Luke, necessarily.
Right. And whether it's the dark side of the Force that kind of brought him into being, which obviously that was a huge part in it, because, again, we know that Palpatine was instrumental in that. But also, it could have been like a little touch of the light. It doesn't really matter because, again, it makes it more tragic in the beginning.
Right. Yeah. I mean, just like he would said, not just seeing things that are in the theatrical release, like movies, but I mean the Clone Wars.
You
see how loyal to his friends and that kind of thing he is, and how, I mean, he's such a strong positive light side personality that I mean, he's so high up that, I mean, he just falls that far down and becomes that dark finally when he gives into it. It's just, I mean,
and that's a testament also to his apprentice, which nobody really knows about unless you've seen that. Like, he pours his, you know, soul into most of the scenes that he has with Ahsoka. And she was a huge, important part of his learning process between, you know, the Clone Wars, when Plo Koon plucks her out of, you know, relative obscurity, and she, and everything like that. Like, again, I really, and honestly, it sucks that it's kind of losing, it's leaving Netflix very, very soon. So if you're hearing this podcast, please go to Netflix. I think literally in a day or two or something like that, it's going
away.
Well,
it's April 1st, so it might.
Oh,
yeah. Because it's a new month. It might be off now.
So go get the DVDs or do whatever you have to do to look at that stuff. Because, again, like, the Clone Wars really, really humanizes Anakin himself. Yeah. It fills in all the gaps. And who plays, do you know off the top of your head who plays Anakin in the Clone Wars, or who voices him?
Matt Laudner or something. I'm not 100% sure on the last name. I know it starts with an L, and his first name's Matt, I'm pretty sure.
I am not taking anything away from Hayden Christensen's, like, portrayal, because he was directed by George Lucas, who is kind of a relatively wooden character, you know what I mean? And I've seen some of the outtakes and stuff like that between him and Padme, and I've seen the directing that was going behind that, and I've seen them bust out laughing sometimes at the dialogue.
Thing with that, like, I don't, and I'm not, like, an apologist, but I'll probably take that. I'll probably take that side more often, just because if you giving the actors and actresses in the prequels, I mean everybody says everybody other than Ewan McGregor was just like wooden and not, but the amount of that
and
film,
let's
amount of those,
because
movies,
the Obi-Wan character was fucking phenomenal. So,
yeah, they did a great job with him, and
I hope to see him in the future.
Yeah, I think that'll happen, but the amount of that film, those movies that were done in front of a green screen with fake effects in the background and all of that kind of stuff,
that was brand new
generation
at the time,
right? Was incredible. Like, I mean, a lot of those scenes, they were standing in a room in their costumes, like literally in a room that was just green floors, green wall,
If
green.
you,
I mean, so how can you put yourself
right,
in
if you
character?
have Samuel L. Jackson, one of the best, like, no one will, I, if you are, if you're gonna argue this, he's one of the best actors of all time. If you have him standing in front of a green screen and not being able to really deliver his lines with feeling, like, that's big.
Right. I mean, I think it's got a lot to do with the the delivery of the from the actors and actresses during those films. I think it's you're in an imaginary world with these
Right.
aliens and creatures and all of this kind of stuff, and you're not really there. It's difficult to put yourself in that kind of spot and really know
Right.
how to behave and how to deliver the lines. So, yeah,
And a
that's just
huge
my opinion.
testament, to J.J. Abrams and again Ryan Johnson as well, was their like devotion to practical effects, which
Yes,
has brought out the heart again in Star Wars. So
yeah, no, yeah, you
and
bring it
also,
back to the way that it started, so.
right, it also needs to be pointed out that all the backlash and everything that's come from The Last Jedi is kind of a product of and we won't get into this, but it's kind of a product of the modern world, because if you think about where Star Wars started off at Episode 4 before it was called Episode 4, and you go to The Empire Strikes Back, which a lot of things that was were introduced to that didn't really make sense with the first one. If we had modern media at that time, Twitter and things like that, would people really kind of, have probably had a different issue with that? You know what I mean? Like, it seems like maybe there would have been a little bit of backlash about that as well at the
Yeah, I mean,
time.
there's backlash, like,
I don't
I mean, with
remember
all the
because
social
I
media
was
stuff, I mean, there's
negative one,
backlash about
but
everything.
yeah,
Like,
right.
I mean, somebody does something that's purely innocent and purely, like, out of the kindness of their heart, and somebody's gonna leave a negative comment or send a negative. I mean,
Right.
it's just
And that's
with
going to be the thing
everything,
that's
so.
picked up on. Right.
Yep,
You know, I mean,
exactly.
that'll be the thing that they run with. But I really don't honestly think there's as much hatred for The Last Jedi as is advertised,
Right.
because
I just hope that
I liked a
people,
lot of parts.
like we said, I mean, go with regardless of how you felt about The Last Jedi, go into Episode 9, which I can't wait until they announce the title so I can stop saying Episode 9. But
Right, exactly. Yes, thank you.
if they when they release that, go into it open-minded and just see how the story finishes,
I
because you can't.
challenge any Star Wars fan, any true Star Wars fan, to not go and see that movie. Honestly, there's no possible way that any of the people who have a backlash are going to boycott that movie. Go ahead if you want to, but it's the most pretentious, stupid thing to like. It's our heart. It's what we do. It's
You
what we
don't, yeah,
do.
you, I mean, you can't, regardless of the story, I mean, you can't read two-thirds of a book and then just decide, oh yeah, I've read enough. I'm not gonna,
Perfect
like,
way to put it. Perfect.
you've
Yeah.
like, because you don't like the way that something's going. Well, you still have,
Right.
like, storytelling and the way that the things are designed. You're going into the third act now of a movie. This is where all the stuff happens.
Right.
So
Yeah.
this whole movie is being set up to where this is where the action happens. Like, it's not, that's not what the design of the middle movie in a trilogy is. It's to
Right.
like broaden things out a little bit, explain some stuff, and set up what's coming up in the end. So,
Right. The middle
again.
movie is always the most, like, I mean, if you look at like the better trilogies of the past 20 or so years, or even, I don't know, beyond that, Godfather 2 was one of the best movies of all time. Godfather 3, not so much, but either way, we won't go into that, but you've got God,
I think there's a difference in some of them, though. If yeah, it's just, I mean, I look at things like
director by
different
director, I
sometimes.
guess. Yeah,
No,
true.
not even, but if it was a planned, so if a movie came out and it was originally written as just one movie,
Right.
and then, oh, this did well, let's make a sequel. Like, and then, yeah, then I think that oftentimes the second one can be better than the first one, and then they usually start to go downhill from there. But
Right, but if you
if
plan it
something's
out.
written as a that way from the beginning, then you're setting up three movies as you would one, where you've got like the story setup stuff, and then you've got like the whatever drama goes on, and then you've got the climactic finish at the end. Like, so if you
A
take a
perfect example, I have to say, not to interrupt you, but the perfect example would be the Lord of the Rings trilogy,
Right,
where
exactly.
Fellowship of the Ring was amazing and it opened up everything. The second movie, not so much, but Return of the King was Emmy nominated in all sorts of, like it did really, really well and it closed up everything perfectly.
Right. So I think that if they're designed that way, it's different. Like, I always look at them differently that way than something that they were just trying to milk a sequel off of because the first
Yeah.
movie did really well.
Yeah, there was a
So,
vision before, so it's gonna
right.
play out, right? Yeah.
So hopefully, and like again,
The rare
I
occasion that
haven't
that works
been.
out is the original Star Wars trilogy, so yeah.
Right. They were able to. Yeah, they've been able to flesh a lot of that stuff out, like even more since then, to kind of, and he went back and did like the remastered stuff to fix a couple of things here and there that they couldn't do then too. So he, but it, he, it's,
He did
yeah,
in
I
a
mean it's,
way, but there again, that was full of controversy, but
yeah,
whatever.
his whole original vision. I mean it's his right to tell the story he wants to tell.
I
So
agree with that
again,
as well.
so agree or disagree. But yeah, I mean, I think that the goal is really going to be to put a nice bow on what we've seen so far, and allow the Disney version of Lucasfilm to kind of start from scratch and
Right.
kind of come up with whether it's the I can't remember their name now, Weiss and Brian Steen, with the Game of Thrones directors that are making the next trilogy that's supposed to come out, that's
Right.
rumored to be an older, like an Old Republic era
Right. And that
trilogy.
may also, again, we have to kind of note that that hasn't been confirmed,
No,
but being that they kind of specialize in a time kind of before times, but also kind of tying it into the whole thing, I think that that's probably a pretty accurate assessment,
Yeah,
so.
I mean that's what my and then that gives them the we've got we ha we saw episode 9, and if you take their literal ending of the saga with episode 9, we've seen the end, and now we can go back and they can set up the beginning,
Right.
and then they can thousands of years prior to the Skywalker saga, and they could set up everything that starts then, can lead up to what happens in the Skywalker saga if they wanted to,
Right,
or
or
something
even
along those
just
lines.
maybe the final battle at Malachor,
Right.
I mean that we've seen in both the comics, Rebels, and
And I think
other media. Yeah.
that would be a perfect ending to the fir that first trilogy. I mean, if you get to that,
It would be, yeah.
and at that point, that's when was it Bane? It was
I
that's the
would
point
think
when
that's where Bane,
Bane was the sole
yes.
survivor of the
Yeah.
Sith, and he instituted the rule of two.
Right.
So, I mean, I think that would be an
Which
ideal
again
place
is
to end
canon for the sixth
the
season
yeah,
of
yes,
Clone
thankfully.
Wars. Yeah. Yeah.
Hopefully they
Thank
keep the
God.
story
Yeah.
the same as it was again in the
Pretty
Legends books, but we
compelling
know he is.
trilogy that honestly I think that most Star Wars fans should read.
Yeah, that
Again,
was
it's
really good.
Legends, but it was amazing.
It was really good.
Amazing.
Yeah, I don't read a lot, but that
Don't have
was, I read
time to
all three of
read,
those. It was,
right?
yeah, I mean, but I read all three of those when they came out. It was they definitely kept my attention. They were good stories. So, I mean, I think that. That would be a perfect place because then theoretically, if you want to go in order, then you're setting yourself up to let's make a Bane trilogy,
Right. Oh, can't wait. I hope
because Bane
so.
ends the first trilogy becoming the only Sith instituting the rule of two, and then we can explain him, and you could almost trace the either current Jedi or current Sith
Can I
throughout
say
the
the name I
timeline,
think that you're gonna
and just
say?
keep going up to get to Plagueis or Palpatine. I mean, eventually keep continuing to go up until you get
Oh,
to.
I was gonna hope you would say Revan, because
Oh God,
again,
yes,
he needs to
that's,
be addressed.
yeah,
Yeah.
he's definitely high up on the, I mean, I
If
think,
there's anyone they're gonna keep, it should be Bane, Plagueis, Revan, like all the people, well, Plagueis
and I
obviously because
think,
he's canon, but still, yeah.
and again, I mean, they changed the timeline that Thrawn was in from his, they brought him back from Legends, but
Right.
they changed his time frame where he was, so
I don't mind
I don't
them
know
doing
where,
that in the future.
yeah, I don't know where they would put if they would keep Revan where he was in the games and the stories and stuff like that that we know of him now, I think he would be actually even after Bane. So they could
Right.
have the
Well,
Bane
I think
trilogy,
he
and then.
kind of should be in a way, because I don't know. I mean, that's my own personal theory, but they've hinted to him in canon, actually, with the visual dictionaries, the Crusader pendant that Luke has on his wall when we see his hut in The Last Jedi. So I think he's going to kind of tie into that. That's my own personal theory. I think everyone kind of who has noticed that thinks that, but
Yeah, I
yeah.
definitely think he's canon without being canon at this point. Like, they
Right.
haven't officially done it, but they're going to. I mean, he's a key player in the past storylines and all that kind of stuff. That
Right.
and a lot of those stories that even
Too
though they're
compelling to not leave a little trace of, you know?
and even though they're not part of the canon now, they were. There was a lot of the stuff that came out then that was like the EU stuff that Lucas and Lucasfilm or LucasArts or whatever didn't have anything to do with.
Right.
And then there was stuff that they did work with, projects that they did work with people on. So you could always kind of take the stuff that they were involved in and consider that canon, even if at that time they weren't going to say that it was.
Yeah.
Like, so I mean, and that was one of the examples that they actually were involved also. So you feel better about that story potentially sticking, maybe above others.
Right. And again, like that's all kind of wishful thinking. I get this. I guess at this point, you know what I mean? But man, I guess I don't think there's anyone probably listening to this that doesn't hope that. So yeah.
So again, tie it all together. I mean, so we'll see. I mean, we'll see if this is actually how episode 9 plays out, or if they're gonna come out with a go in a completely different direction. I mean,
Right. And you know what? If I can kind of introduce a completely different direction, I've kind of discussed this with you. And the only reason that I bring this up, I'm not sure if I believe that this is where things are going to go in any way, shape, or form in the future. But it seems like they can kind of really kind of tie everything together. If they, again, Snoke might not be Palpatine, obviously, in many, many ways, but, oh, God, I wish I didn't really lead off with that. But either way, I don't know. There's so many lines of dialogue and things like that with Snoke that really align him in many, many ways with Palpatine himself. I know that Palpatine probably sought out Snoke, or it's kind of been implied that he, sense Snoke himself or something, some kind of a dark side, you know, aura in the outer regions or expanded space or whatever you want to call it. But there's I it was just really weird when I looked back at the novelization of The Last Jedi and I read everything from Snoke's point of view and I took Snoke's name out of it and kind of inserted Palpatine's. And if they're not the same person, which I really, truly, honestly think that that would be a really weird way to go. They certainly have the same point of view.
Yeah, I think. I mean, they could definitely, if they told the story the right way, they could convince me that in some way, shape, or form, whether it's traveling spirits through there from one person to the other, like, which was again the Bane story and the Bane book. It's how that
And also the
kind of.
reincarnation of Palpatine, even though he was kind of like I guess in the EU, he looked a little bit more like a younger Palpatine at the point, or the clones and stuff like that. I really don't think that they'll get into that very, very much. I think I kind of lean more towards your theory of Palpatine and Snoke being completely separate people. However, like, again, that, like, if you just read those couple of chapters, even just in that book, it seems like somehow they're tied together a little bit more tightly than maybe people think. And again, I know that you've believed that they've been working together for, many, many years, or at least since, the contingency or a little bit before that.
I think around the time, I think shortly after Ezra and Thrawn go to the Unknown Regions at the end of Rebels, so slightly prior to when A New Hope would have been, I think, is when they somehow got into communication with each other
Well,
through the Force. And that's just my, again, just my.
yeah. And honestly, I tried to kind of debunk that with one line of dialogue that came from The Last Jedi, but I couldn't because honestly, it doesn't really say that, let me read that, I suppose. Would be the best way to do it right now. Let's see if I can find it really quickly. Okay. So here's the line of dialogue from chapter 25, which is one of the most revealing chapters of The Last Jedi novelization. It's about, I think, 4 or 5 paragraphs in, but either way, on page 217. Palpatine had engineered the contingency to simultaneously destroy his empire and ensure its rebirth, ruthlessly winnowing its ranks and rebuilding them with who and what survived. The rebuilding was to take place in the unknown regions, secretly explored by the Imperial scouts and seeded with shipyards, laboratories, and storehouses, an enormously expensive effort that had taken decades and had been kept hidden from all but the elect. But decades. Decades.
So they could have been in communication for a lot longer than, I mean,
Possibly, possibly,
my
but at the same time, maybe he didn't sense Snoke or Snoke wasn't aware of him.
right, and
And
that's
Snoke,
also.
being in the manipulator that he is, could have, opened up a channel. I mean, he opened up a channel between Kylo Ren and Rey. You know what I
Right,
mean? So
right.
there's no real limit to what Snoke can do at this point, or
This
what
is
he
true.
did do, you know?
Yeah, so it's definitely, I mean, I said I could be sold on that if all how they tell the story. I mean, it's the same
Right.
thing. I'm not a definitely not against a different direction. My thoughts were just trying to take it literal with the ending of or tying everything together,
Yeah, and
kind of
again,
thing.
I
But
totally
that would
100%
also,
get
I mean,
that.
I really think that if Palpatine's involved in any in any way, shape, or form,
He's a
I think
completely separate entity
it's
from
yeah.
Snoke.
I mean, it's just got to be. Well, no, not even as long as he's involved and he
Right.
ends up being the big bad, whether he ends up being Snoke or having been Snoke or whatever the situation is, or whether my thoughts like come to fruition. I think as long as Palpatine's
Right.
there, it still ties it all together and still ends the saga the same way that I think it's going to,
Right.
in my
Yeah.
version. As long as Palpatine just has to be involved and be the
He
one behind
does.
the scenes,
Yes.
so
Yeah.
for it to kind of everything to fit for this whole saga
And again,
length
the
theory.
only thing that I can kind of combat that with is the fact that, and in a way, like watching Clone Wars and watching Rebels and stuff like that, like seeing Sidious, I won't even say Palpatine because it was Sidious at this point, to see him kind of using Sith sorcery and stuff like that felt very Mother Talzin. You know what I mean? Like a little bit uncomfortable in a way, but very indicative of the character of who Palpatine is. So I don't think it would surprise many people on screen to know that he kind of delved into that stuff, especially since the canon has established that Palpatine's reign was mostly behind the scenes. He very rarely made public appearances because of his hideous face or, the mask being kind of torn from what it was before. And he spent a lot of time really discovering Sith sorcery and things like that. He spent a lot of time in the catacombs of the Jedi Temple, where he kind of reopened the Sith shrine that was beneath that. So it doesn't seem out of the realm of possibility. It's just difficult to introduce in a movie that you have to complete in 3 hours. So that's the only thing that I can really see as being like the obstacle that they have to leap, where we left off at episode 8.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I would agree. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of that. I mean, I think it's doable though. Like, really, I mean,
I do too. I do. The
if
right storyteller, J.J. Abrams, could possibly do it.
if the again, if the it still ties into the same similar to similar ending of my thing is where you lost my train of thought. Sorry.
That's okay.
Anyway, so Palpatine is the big bad. He's
He
the
has to be. It
mastermind.
has
He's
to come full
if
circle. That's what we're
their whole
looking
thing,
for.
yeah, their whole thing is balance, and their whole thing is so you need to have whether it's Rey or whether it's somebody else that is the ultimate light, and then you've got Palpatine, who throughout the whole saga ends up being revealed as the ultimate dark side, and then they need to clash or come to some sort of something. I mean, there needs to be some sort of revelation behind between those, or there's somebody else that's the extreme light and Rey's the middle, and she ends up being able to bring balance or whatever it is, however that plays out. I think that ultimately, if Palpatine's involved at all, I think however they work it in, I think it'll work that way.
I just think Rey is a little bit too powerful, and again, I guess it maybe ties into the whole theory that a lot of people have about her being quote unquote Mary Sue, who is a little bit too powerful for the whole series and stuff like that. There has to be something bigger than probably even both Snoke and Kylo Ren that caused the Force to create this person who obviously doesn't really have much of a problem, tapping into the Force and using it for her own,
Yeah,
needs.
I mean, untrained,
Completely
unaware,
untrained, I mean, for the most part.
and being able to use it. I mean, at the point where she, I
Even
mean, has the
Luke
vision,
had
the
more
Force
training
vision.
than she did,
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, she has the Force vision when she touches the Skywalker lightsaber, before she really knew she had like Force powers. I mean, she'd always been good at
It's
doing
called to
things
her,
and all
yeah.
that kind of stuff, but it was the same thing as like young Anakin, where like they knew
They had no choice in the
he could
whole
race
matter,
and he could fix things, but you didn't know that he could do that stuff because he had this extra power that he could kind of channel into and stuff. So
Like
he
Rey
learned
said,
to move
she's known
things
it's
like
always been there, but she didn't really know quite how to use
exactly
it or what it
exactly
was,
that's
you
so
know?
yeah, I mean
That's part of the
you can't
fear behind Rey's character, which makes her more relatable, you know? Is the fear
So, I mean,
behind
if
what
she
she
knows,
has.
we don't know much about or anything about her upbringing and whatnot, but I mean, if she's been dealing with having this much power for her entire life and not knowing, like, I mean, I guess I've never been force sensitive, but I would guess you don't wake up and just start being able to move things like
Exactly. It's
just
probably been
randomly.
with you your whole life.
You've got to learn, or you got to learn how to. You got to learn how to do it. Like,
Well,
I
of
mean, I think,
course, yeah.
like, even if you've got that power and you don't know how to use it, then you don't know you have it. Like, I mean,
Again,
you don't.
it almost ties in. It's so weird. It kind of almost ties in with the whole like MCU. Again, I don't want to open up a whole new can of worms, but with the whole like mutant thing of like fearing your powers at first until you learn how to use them, you know? Yeah.
I mean, I think that might have something, again, just stretching things out and theorizing, but I mean, it probably has a lot to do with why the Jedi at the height of their numbers would take younglings at such a young age and bring them in to start developing their powers and training them, because
Almost as an
it
act of mercy, so they didn't
right
have to
so that they
experience
knew
that. But again, it
if
was
they were able to
hubris.
sense, yeah, they were able to sense that they were of a certain level in force, that they should be trained. It's better
Midichlorians put aside. We don't have to
to
worry about that right now,
right. It's
even though it's
better
a
to,
thing.
yeah, that's another thing. But we'll see.
I know.
I mean, if that's the case, then maybe they did that because, I mean, maybe people would have. I mean, if you think of it like an everyday person now, I mean, if you're growing up like a normal everyday kid, and then like all of a sudden you can do whatever it is that whatever
Right.
force powers that you're doing. Like, I mean, it's gonna take you a little bit mentally to adjust to it. I mean, and if you're not the most stable person, you could end up doing a lot of bad things. So they probably want to grab those people as early as possible and try to head them down the right path as much as they
Right.
can, kind of thing.
And that's the thing. I think it was more, I think towards the end, it was probably more about just not letting those people fall to the dark side. You know what I
I mean,
mean? Yeah.
because I mean, like I said, the
It's like,
fear
let's get them
and all
before the
that kind of stuff,
Sith get to them.
it's I think, wow, this is just something as we're having the conversation that just popped into my head that would also explain. So like, why Anakin at even 9 years old or 8 years old, whatever, was considered too old to enter the training. Because and it showed that they were correct in that thought process because he was not able to let go of the fear and let go of
Right, like all
the
he
need for
knew was his mother and
right.
that
So
comfort that he got
he
from
lived
whatever he was
everything.
doing. Yeah.
He lived everything that they don't want Jedi to live,
Exactly.
and then
Yep.
was asked to stop doing all of that stuff, where
Right,
all of
and
these others grew
learn.
up in that thing and never knew the difference. They didn't
Right.
know what it was like to love and what it was like to do all this kind of stuff,
Right.
and he did, which is why he ultimately ended up turning, is because of that. So I mean, it's
Look at
a
how young Ahsoka was when she was brought into the whole,
right.
thing. I mean, Plo Koon could lift her up in his hands, and I mean, she was like
I mean,
this
that's what
little
they used
tiny
to. I mean,
child.
and they used to. I mean, I think that even on Rebels, they showed, one in one of the episodes, the early episodes, where there were, whether they were Inquisitors or something out, and looking for Force-sensitive babies
Right.
to take from places, and just basically just stockpiling Force-sensitive babies and taking them from their families
Right,
and
even
stuff like that to.
Palpatine understood the importance of taking a child when they were like,
Right,
you know what I
it's how
mean? Like,
Maul was trained. I mean, it's how like I mean he,
exactly, yeah.
look, and, well, I
Well,
guess
he always had
Legends.
a bit of
That
a
was
touch
we
of the
they
dark
don't.
side because he was, I don't
Yeah,
know,
we
he
don't
was
know
the
exactly
perfect
how he.
apprentice, so yeah.
I know in the Plagueis novel, they explain his origin and how
Oh, is that not
Palpatine.
canon?
No, the Plagueis is not. It's as of now, it's still Legends. So I mean the.
But is he still Mother Talzin's son?
He's still a knight
Night brother.
sister, knight brother. Yeah, I mean
Night brother.
whatever.
Yeah,
Yeah,
night brothers, night
he's still from
sisters. That's a,
Dathomir.
again, that's a whole nother podcast to explain, but
Right,
go ahead,
right. But yeah, I mean
yeah.
he's still of that
That ilk,
like whatever
yeah.
Dathomir or whatever the planet is. So the dark sorcery.
Yeah, that planet is steeped in the dark side, but also that's where Asajj Ventress was,
Yeah, she's
kind of
also.
set to rest, and she was redeemed by the end, So, god damn it, another podcast that we could go into. So many. But anyway,
Well,
yeah.
I mean, it's just like if you have an open conversation, like so many about it. I mean,
And that's what this is
so many
about.
different
We're just
things
going to go
lead
with
to
open
so many different things. I
conversations.
mean,
Yep.
it's just getting things out there and getting thoughts out there, and I mean, it's. Just for fun, kind of thing.
That's what we're all about at the galaxy at large. So, yeah.
But I mean, and I think that I'm hoping that this whole thing is just going to be one big thing, like where there's little, I don't know if you want to call them Easter eggs or whatever you want to call them, scattered throughout all of the different movies and shows and stuff like that, that you get little payoffs like all the way along, I mean, we had talked earlier about like my big picture kind of synopsis of the whole saga. It's like a character like Maul, who you're introduced to first in The Phantom Menace. You see
Right,
him as
episode
this,
one.
right? You see him as this just assassin kind of badass, like black and red spiked head guy. Like, and
Right.
he just
A
kills
sheer,
Qui-Gon. Yeah, it kills
he was
Qui-Gon.
introduced as a killing machine, as like the Sith's instrument of destruction. They're
Right, and you
he
see him die.
presented himself. That was the first, not to interrupt again, I'm sorry,
Yeah,
but
no.
he was the like that was Palpatine's way of reintroducing the Sith. That was it. You
Yeah,
know what
he
I mean? That
was. I
was
mean,
like, here we are after 1,000 years. fuck you, Jedi.
Yeah,
We're
right.
ready to go after you,
It's
you
time
know?
now. It's yeah, he was the ultimate like assassin in the shadows. Like, I mean, he had been around for a long time and nobody had any idea, and he was doing, again, maybe at this point mostly legend stuff, but I mean, he was out doing dirty work for Palpatine for years
Oh,
prior
that
to.
is well established in also the canon now with comics. Like, he literally, before he presented himself to Qui-Gon, he was working in the underlevels. He was actually kind of a true Sith apprentice because he had his own agenda as well, which we're
Right.
finding out in the expanded canon, not universe. We're finding out that he had his own agenda and everything, and he was just seething to kill a Jedi. But he
Yeah.
couldn't. So he was looking for, actually, weirdly, which we found out in the Old Republic series of the comics, Darth Maul number one. He was looking for people that were force sensitive, that were on the edge, to eliminate. That was it. He wasn't looking to like bring them in to Sidious's realm or anything, because that would make them a threat. But he was looking to just eliminate people that he kind of thought may go one way or the other. So it's pretty wild, actually. I recommend everyone really
Yeah,
look at those series. So,
and that's the good thing about a lot of the comics and the things. I mean, I don't read all of them, but I do read like reviews or general stories of them, so I stay on top of somewhat of what's going on, minus maybe a
right.
detail or two. Like, but I it everything it just they do such a good job of. That's why conversations like this can happen, because you organically just kind of come up with things that tie into something else, that tie into something else that you really didn't think of before, that just
Right.
kind of just come up in a conversation. It just kind of carries it on, because they've done, without us even really knowing it, they've done such a good job of really tying everything together.
Right, that you really have to analyze it, and especially it works out again with like a co-host like you, where two people have kind of different knowledge or the same knowledge, and you put everything together and you're like, aha, you know what I mean? Like, it just kind of like is like, okay, well, they can go this way with this too. Doesn't mean they will. But you know, it's the possibility, and they introduce all these possibilities. And honestly, I think that, again, wrapping everything around, I trust them. I trust the creative team. I trust Dave Filoni. I trust Pablo Hidalgo. I trust Kathleen Kennedy and everyone else that is like the unnamed people that are behind that. I trust them. I really do. So.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, they haven't done anything, I mean, seriously to prove otherwise
Right,
until they
right.
do. Other than, again, if you went into The Last Jedi with maybe a certain point of view, or maybe a certain a way of thinking, and you got completely shell shocked. I mean,
Right.
like I
I
said,
think in and of
I'm not an
itself,
apologist. I don't think
right.
it was a great movie. I don't think, but I didn't hate it,
But you
and I
know the
think it brought some
message.
stuff up. But I think that if it ties into the other one, then it'll up itself a couple of notches if it does what I hope it does and sets up
The
a
funny
nine.
part is that The Last Jedi, you know, when it came to the Jedi themselves, kind of centered around hubris and what you expected out of something. And they wrapped it and they kind of like twisted it to a point where it's like, okay, well, this is what you expect, but maybe that's not the real picture. You know what I mean? So it's kind of funny that they did that with the movie, and also kind of subverted our expectations. God, I had a point with this. But either way, I guess it's just funny that, like, you know, they kind of took what we expected and twisted it, you know, to kind of, I guess maybe people would be put off by that, but I don't know. I kind of was like, okay, well, okay, maybe it's hubris to expect that Luke Skywalker was going to be the hero that we always expected him to be in episode three. But maybe there's a little bit of redemption in Luke too, because he's again, they're presenting him to be a tragic character who went through all of this. Maybe he foresaw in Kylo when, like he looked into his mind and everything, what he was going to do in the future. Maybe he saw him almost pull the trigger against Leia or whatever. And we all know that Luke's main concern in the original trilogy, which he kind of, I think, grew beyond, maybe we all expected. But his whole thing was, these are my friends. This is a rebellion. These are people I believe in. I don't want to let anything, I don't want anyone to get in the way. I don't want people to kill Han or whatever, or, blah, blah, blah. Like, we never got to see Luke, his response to where's the whole, where's Han, thing. But maybe there's a reason for that. Maybe he foresaw Han's death and he was like, oh God, this is all coming to fruition. And that was a little bit too much to handle. I don't really know. I mean, he was cut off from the Force, so who knows?
And so
There's
that's why I think he
so
was
much open-ended.
exactly, well, exactly, like almost everything. There were a lot of questions going into The Last Jedi, and none of them were answered, and more were asked.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, it's and the ones that you thought might have been answered were just like
I'm sure there's a
twists
lot of
that
things
you.
that did get answered that we just don't know about right
Right.
now.
I mean, yeah, it can go either way. 'Cause like I've said before, I still don't necessarily believe the Rey's parents selling her for drinking money kind of thing. I think that that was just what
They
Kylo
could also be
needed to
the
tell her.
anti-schmies,
Right.
like, okay, well, here's my wife. She all of a sudden got pregnant for no reason. And, I'm on Jakku and blah, blah, blah. Maybe I did sell my daughter off for drinking money. But we also saw her got dropped off by a ship in the in episode 7. So there's a little bit behind that story that we don't know.
Yeah, there's more. I mean, so we don't know that, but I think that that's what Kylo needed to tell her at the time to try to get her to turn to join
Right.
him kind of thing.
Exactly.
So he just told her what he thought would crush her the most. And I
Snoke
think
might
there's.
not have been a Sith, but Kylo Ren definitely has very many Sith qualities, and that's one of those, the manipulative side of that
I
whole deal.
definitely think that that's the case. But again, we don't know. So I mean,
Right.
but that's I think part of the frustration with that movie also was that
No answers.
there was a lot of questions going in, and
Right.
then no answers, a bunch of twists that turned things that we thought were going to happen completely upside down, and then
Right.
more questions at the end.
At
And
least in
that was it.
Empire Strikes Back, we got the whole Luke, I'm your father deal. You know what I mean? At least we got like a little bit of it was like, oh, that can't be true. You know what I mean? Like exactly what Luke says. But we did get answers in that film, and it led to the conclusion, which say what you want to say about Return of the Jedi. It's part of my childhood and I love it. You know what I mean? Like it's to me, I don't care if the Ewoks took down the Empire. It was a lot more broad than that. So, you know what I mean? Like it definitely like I enjoyed every part of that. So, I trust him.
Yeah, and at the time, I mean, at the time that I enjoyed it, also, I mean, growing up watching it, and I mean, and again, even now, that you, the one thing I think again that sometimes Star Wars gets, I mean, flack for, and I think that maybe is looked at differently than maybe it should be from some people is that you want, I mean, it's 40, like I was born in 1977. I
Right.
mean, that's the
Yeah, you
year
had a
Star
couple of
Wars came
years on
out.
me. Right.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I mean,
Yeah.
I was born, I mean, in December of that year, but it was so Star Wars had been out or whatever that for since May of that year, whatever it was. But
Right. But it was such a
the same
phenomenon
year.
that even at 2 or 3 years old, you're going to see Star Wars, and that's
Yeah,
going to
I
be
mean,
your impression.
my first memory of going to a movie theater to see a movie was Return of the Jedi.
Ah,
And
that's awesome.
it was like 1983, I think it came. It came out or something along those lines. I was like
Right.
six or something like that. I think that was like my first memory of going to a
Mine
movie.
was Roger Rabbit, but we'll get back to our topic. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, but so I mean, I grew up over the just like that. I mean, it's just yeah. And again, lost my point.
No, I got you.
But
Yeah.
yeah, just I mean the same. I mean, it's been my whole life. Like oh yeah, 40 years. So
Right.
like it's been over 40 years since this whole thing that we all enjoy has been going on. And if it isn't for things like Ewoks, and it isn't for things like Jar Jar Binks, and it isn't for things like that, then there's not another generation of fans that are going to continue it going on for another 20 years, because the
Right.
things that get the porgs and stuff like that, that like you get the 3 or 4 or 5 year olds to look up at the TV because they see a walking teddy bear, like then they're gonna be like, oh, what's this? And then they're gonna see a lightsaber battle and be hooked for life. You know what I mean?
I
And it's
think
just like,
honestly, yeah, exactly. And I think you kind of have to have kids or nephews or nieces to kind of understand that aspect of things. And I think that's kind of where I think the fan base kind of goes off point. But
yeah,
you're
it's
right,
just
you
like, 'cause
know,
I mean
yeah.
the whole thing, I mean prior to when it was a Disney property, but the whole thing has always been you want to have bits and pieces that are enjoyable for all age groups. It's not written
Right.
for the
You have to
19 to
look at it from a
35 year old
marketing point of view
demographic. I mean,
too, right?
it's not looking, it's not written for the demographic of the people that might be the ones tearing it apart. It's written for the kids, and it's got adult things written for the
Right.
adults, and it's got
With
action for
things
this. It's
peppered
got,
in that people will remember, like almost like Toy Story. There's adult
right. I mean, there's
jokes, but
yeah,
it's
there's a
meant for
lot of that kind of stuff.
kids.
So you've
Yeah.
got to understand that just because you're 40 years old and enjoy Star Wars,
Right.
like you weren't always 40, and would you have enjoyed Star Wars if the Ewoks didn't pull you in?
Come
Because
on, like, well,
I mean,
like the perfect like thing to kind of like not to bring you off topic or whatever. But did you see the Ewok movies when you were a kid?
I have about 15 feet in front of me. I have them on DVD on a,
You know what I mean? I love
yeah.
those movies. I loved them at the time. Like, you know what I mean? Like, but you know, and
Because you were,
again, that was me as a kid. But now,
right,
when
you're
I look
growing up,
back,
you
I see
just,
how stupid that was. But at the
oh yeah,
same
it's
time, it
terrible.
was part of my childhood.
And I probably would have now, obviously, because
Right.
I'm a Star Wars, like I would have watched them if they came out now, but
Right.
I would have been like, really, that was not the best, like kind of thing. But it is what it is. Like it's not meant for me in like that kind of thing. It's meant for a kid.
Well, it
It's meant
was
for
meant for
somebody
you when you were a kid.
at that time, right? Exactly, and that's why I
And you
enjoyed it. So
watched it
it's
and you
right.
enjoyed it. Right.
So I mean, and that's the whole point. I mean, they come out with all the collectors and all that kind of stuff. I mean, that's why they have $3.99 action figures, and they have $399 action figures,
Right.
or whatever you want to
I fall
call them,
somewhere
because,
between the two,
right?
but
I mean,
still, I
exactly.
have them, you know?
But that's the
Yeah.
thing. I mean, they've got something for everybody because it's that universally
And
appreciated
I
that.
respect that 100%. I
And so, I
really
mean,
do, and I'm appreciative of that.
as much as Jar Jar might drive me crazy, or as much as whatever it is might the singing, like, the
Yeah.
Return of the Jedi, like the in Jabba's palace, whatever, with the in the special edition versions with it. I mean, it's just like, as much as the certain
Right,
things
the
that might,
Max Rebo band or whatever the heck it was, but
right. So
yeah.
as much as that kind of stuff
I'm
might drive
forgetting
me
her name.
crazy,
Yeah.
it's the kind of stuff that you kind of need to get that hook into the next generation growing up kind of thing.
Right. And I'm cool with that. Again, like I accept all of that. I
If
accept
you
the
look at it
little,
that
I
way,
accept the
I mean.
dog walking downstairs like he might have went to the bathroom while like
Right.
everyone was sleeping in Jabba's palace, like sleeping off their whole like deal. I accept all that. You know what I mean? Like it just makes me laugh, like ultimately. And I don't take it too seriously. And I hope
That's
that nobody
exactly the
else does, you
right.
know?
That's exactly
Yeah.
the point, is if you take it as entertainment and still have as much fun thinking or theorizing about it or coming up with
We wouldn't be
alternate
doing this
stories and all this kind of
podcast if
stuff.
we didn't like. I mean, we both have the same general feelings about like some of the things they did wrong or right, or in the way that we feel in our hearts. But we wouldn't be discussing it right now if we didn't truly passionately say like, "Well, that's the way the story's going," and we're invested. So,
Yeah, I'm
yeah.
not going anywhere unless they really, really drop the ball so really bad somewhere. I mean, I don't know what it would take, but I mean,
But I'm
never say
always going to be
never.
constantly, like, again, even if I hate episode 9, I'm always going to be constantly looking for Star Wars to redeem themselves. And I think, honestly, like, the weirdest part about this, and I don't want to, like, drop a plug for our next things that are coming up, but it's the wrestling fan in me, I guess, that really is, like, willing to stick with the whole story and everything to see if it comes out to something, even if it's, if I feel it's not quite at the par that it should be.
The other part of it too is like, for me at least, is with all of the different things that are coming out going forward, and you've got
Right.
Like, you've got another movie, you've got another trilogy coming, you've got at least two live action series that have been confirmed, and
Yep.
more be rumored, and more animated series and video games and stuff like that. Like, I can't expect as a consumer to take all of that in and absolutely love every bit of it.
Exactly.
There's gonna be
Exactly.
parts of it that I'm gonna love, and there's gonna be parts that I'm gonna be like, all right, I'm never looking at that again, and toss it aside.
Right.
But it's just But overall, it's all part of the overall story. It's all part of the lore and the saga and stuff like that. So you've got to, whether you like it or not, you got to accept it, and just accept it as part of their vision of this galaxy that we
Right.
kind of spend so much time in.
Another perfect example of that, again, just to make things a little bit more light. Again, I think I let you borrow the book. It was like a collection of all the stories. I don't know what the name of it was. It was like, do you remember the like just little stories? It wasn't the Luke Skywalker thing.
It's like the A New Hope
Yeah, it
tales.
kind of settled between
It
that.
kind
They
of went
had
the
like,
chronologically throughout, but it was different stories
yeah, by
from
different
random
people.
people. Like, it was all like 40 different
There
people or
was
something.
one thing, and I've joked about this with you in the past. It was Palpatine doing like the Shakespearean freaking poetry thing, that was all about like Obi-Wan being struck down and stuff like that. And it literally had the most like, I would say, pretentious like Shakespearean kind of like it's just it was so like ridiculous to think of Palpatine, this evil guy, sitting there on his throne penning out this like Shakespearean poem about Obi-Wan being killed. But it's part of canon now, you know what I mean? Like it's and as ridiculous as it was, it did offer a little bit of insight into the whole thing. But I laughed my ass off from start to finish reading that, and I appreciate that. I really do. You know, I
I mean,
mean, it
that's
kind of
part of it.
added levity to the whole darkness of that whole scene. So you
Yeah,
gotta
I mean,
accept it when it comes, I guess. I don't
exactly, and
know.
that's the thing. I mean, you gotta just enjoy it. Just enjoy it.
Right. It's Star Wars. I mean, it's not, it shouldn't be the most serious thing in the world because honestly, life is serious enough. We don't need to have Star Wars be this, you know, mind-boggling, crazy thing. I want it to be entertainment.
Yeah. That's exactly.
So, all right. Well, you know what? We're 81 minutes into this, minus a little tiny bit of editing. So, I think this is a good place to leave off, the second podcast, for the galaxy at large. And Jim, thank you, man,
Oh,
as
no problem.
always.
Problem.
And
Definitely a good
we'll
time.
yeah, always. And yeah, we'll see you next week, I suppose.
All right, have a good one. Thanks for
All
listening.
right, you too. Bye.
All right, bye.